Hello and welcome back to the Gay Agenda October show. It is spooky season, you guys. I'm so excited. Halloween is my most favourite time of the year, followed quickly by Pride and then followed quickly by Christmas. But Halloween trumps it all. So on this show, we're going to discuss a very major issue going on with Chambers in Cork and the QCon event that I went to recently. So first up, we have lots of queer talk to get into, and I'm going to actually skip the queer terms of the month this month just to catch up on the queer TikToks that are happening at the moment. So first of all, I'm going to play you a little bit of music, and then we're going to get straight into it. And it can't be Halloween without this one song, if I can find it now. There we are. So this is Halloween by the Citizens of Halloween.
Something strange.
Come with us and you will see. This is our town of Halloween.
This is Halloween. This is Halloween.
Pumpkins scream in the dead of night.
This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene.
Trick or treat. Tell the neighbors on the diaphragm.
It's our town. Everybody's
scream. It's town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Round that corner man hiding in the trash can. Something's waiting now to pounce and how you'll scream.
This is Halloween.
Red and black.
And slimy green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine.
Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice.
Ride with the moon in the dead of night.
Everybody scream. Everybody scream.
In our town of Halloween.
I am the clown with the tearaway face.
Here in a flash and gone with a trace.
I am the who in the cold who's there.
I am the wind blowing through your hair.
I am the shadow on the moon at night, filling your dreams to the brim with fright.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Halloween, 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 Halloween,
Halloween.
That's our job,
but we're not mean.
In our town of Halloween.
In this town,
don't we love it now?
Everyone's waiting for the next surprise.
Skeleton Jack might catch you in the back and
scream like a banshee, make you jump out of your skin.
This is Halloween, everybody scream.
Won't you please make way for a very special guy?
The one man Jack is king of the pumpkin patch. Everyone hail to the pumpkin king.
Now
this is Halloween.
And welcome back. Now, before I get into it, I just want to talk a little bit about QCon. So QCon was a queer women's health event that was on a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I went to it myself. And first of all, I just want to say a huge thank you to Kira Mulcahy, who put the whole thing together, and the fabulous women and people of Link. And yeah, so it was a weekend of conferences. I went to a good few things myself as well. And it was brilliant. And my favourite was body painting. Like, I've always wanted to try it, and it was great crack, and everything was respectful, and it was like, you know, it was all fine that way. And then the talks and just the amazing lives of queer women who were just telling us their stories, and it's amazing. You can find a lot of it on Link's social media if you want to check out some of the talks, but absolutely amazing work. The next thing I want to talk about is the galas. So the galas happened. There was only like what I think there was one winner from Cork, and that was the Cork City Libraries. But they won the Ally Award, but that is so, so well deserved. They've done a lot for the community in dealing with awful, awful protesters, and just all round in general, really, really looking after what they think is right and, you know, not listening to them in the first place. So I'm going to jump straight in and start Queer Talk because I want to save the Chambers drama for the very end because I have to make a, well, maybe not the very end, about in about 15 minutes, we'll get into that. I'm going to ring somebody who was there during the whole thing and we're going to chat to them about it. But first of all, this first TikTok on Queer Talk is people trolling anti-choice protesters. So anti-choice protesters are these awful people who go outside of abortion centres in America and like be like, you know, you're going to go to hell for this, blah, 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 and trying to convince the people who are getting the abortions not to get them. So there is guardians or angels, as some of them are called, who go there and they distract and they bother the protesters so that the ones who are getting the abortions or going to the clinics can get away. And yeah, so it's just brilliant, brilliant work. So just have a listen to this.
Clinic defenders troll the absolute out of anti-abortion protesters.
From now, this politics.
Some escorts are really, really good at engaging with protesters. And then we'll have other ones at the door, and a patient comes out, and we're all ready with our umbrellas, like, oh, they're going to say something. They're going to try to harass or follow this patient. And we look over, and they're still just having this conversation with this escort. And we're like, oh, okay, well, you go on over while they're not looking, while they're not paying attention. Yeah.
Turn from your sin, Winnie.
Kiss me.
I will not. Don't be so wicked. You foul woman.
It's fighting absurdity with absurdity. If you come to a place where people are seeking health care, you're going to be a little ridiculous yourself, too.
So there was no one here to offer any alternative.
I offered water. If I can get them distracted talking to me about nonsense and just subtly roasting them for a good amount of period of time, I'm going to do that because the patients are safe. They're not being harassed. I think that's fine as long as you're not escalating too much, but roasting them is my favorite thing to do.
In Jesus' name.
Yay, you must be the money.
I always come out of this place with you two emotionally exhausted.
I think it's just a good tactic to, is purely to distract them and to get their mind off the patients for, even if it's 5 seconds.
Florida's Agency for Healthcare Administration fined the Swans Clinic $1,000 for each of the 193 abortions it claims the clinic administered that violated Florida's mandatory 24-hour waiting period to receive an abortion. That's a total of $193,000. The Swans claim that this was an attempt to bankrupt the clinic and stop them from helping people get the healthcare they need. They held an online fundraiser and were able to reach their goal on August 28th. Thanks to the effort from the Swans, the money will be used to pay the fines for the clinic.
Step on your pride.
So this next one is the lesbian explaining the man-hating stereotype. So this is by O'Reilly Aphrodite. And I think she says it better than anybody else, that we do hold high, we as queer women hold men to a higher standard, because we have similar experiences of how women should be treated. So have a listen to this.
In man-hating stereotypes. So let me break this down for you. I genuinely did used to have a lot more empathy for men back when I was dating. My thought process was like, hey, listen, I've never taken a walk in your shoes. I don't know what that's like. And frankly, there's a lot of pressure on the idea of being a man, to be the provider, to be the initiator, to be the one that goes out and hits on other people. And if you're a single man and you're looking for somebody, odds are you're probably getting rejected on the daily. And I mean that genuinely. It's got to be hard to put yourself out there and face rejection all the time. And as a woman, especially one that meets a lot of conventional beauty standards, I didn't really understand what it would feel like to be rejected. So when men would have a big reaction when being rejected, I was like, yeah, I mean, that's gotta be hard. And then I started dating women, and it made me realize how not hard it is to get rejected. Does it hurt the ego a little? Sure. But when I was single, if I was in a club and I was hitting on a girl and she was like, hey, listen, I'm not interested, you know what I did? I was like, okay, and I walked my happy ass away. And so now when I'm in public and a man hits on me and I tell him no or I'm not interested 2, 3, 4 times and he still doesn't go the fuck away, I'm like, hey man, listen, I don't have any sympathy for you here. I have literally been in your shoes. and all you need to do is walk away. And the same was true in my long-term relationships with men. I was like, man, I don't know what it's like to have the pressure put on you of always being the initiator, always being the provider. Like, that's gotta be tough. I've been with my girlfriend for almost 2 years now. It's not that tough. I go to work, I make money, I pay rent, I come home. It's not hard either to pick up flowers every other week or plan a thoughtful date. Like, I feel like straight women are giving men a lot of sympathy because they don't know what it's like to be in their position. And they're assuming like, okay, well, I don't understand your experience. And I'm trying to, with the assumption that men are also trying to understand their experience. And when I started dating women and when I realized I was a lesbian, I realized that's not true because I'm not a man, obviously. Nobody's going to take the role of a man in a lesbian relationship. We're both women. That's the point. But the idea is I am taking on responsibilities that are traditionally held by men, and I'm fine. And straight women are out here extending men copious amounts of sympathy, copious amounts of empathy, because they're trying to understand the experience of straight men. They don't get it. And I'm not a straight man. I'm not gonna say I understand the experience of a straight man. I'm just saying romantically, it is not that hard to get rejected. It's not that hard to show up for your partner. It's not that hard to initiate. So it's not that we're man-hating, it's just that I understand your role. And it's not as hard as you make it out to be. Women do not owe me their time. They don't owe me a conversation. And I'm not going to approach them with that entitlement. And so when I see it happen, oh, babe, you don't understand how hard it is to get you flowers. You don't understand how hard it is to get rejected. And that's why I'm having this explosive reaction. I'm like, no, I do. You're just handling it really poorly. And so the lesbian man-hating stereotype is not that we hate men. I think lesbians hold men to a higher standard. I've heard a lot of...
Now, Emma... Amazing. Could I explain it better to myself? I just had to leave that one in. It was just an amazing way of explaining it, I think. So I'm going to play another song, and then when I get back, I'm going to dig into the Chambers drama. And I'm going to get Paul Stanton, or Boo Boo Upsie, on the line, who was at the protests, and I'll explain a bit more about it. So here we go. This is Vampire by Olivia Rodrigo.
Hate to give the satisfaction asking how you're doing now. How's the castle built of people you pretend to care about? Just what you wanted. Look at you, cool guy, you got it. I see the parties and diamonds sometimes when I close my eyes. 6 months of torture you sold to some forbidden paradise. I loved you truly. You gotta laugh at the stupidity. Cause I've made some real big mistakes, but you make the worst one look fine. I should have known it was strange. You only come out at night. I used to think I was smart, but you made me look so naive. The way you saw me for parts, you sunk your teeth into me. Bloodsucker, dream crusher, bleeding me dry like a damn vampire. And every girl I ever talked to told me you were bad, bad news. You called them crazy. God, I hate the way I called them crazy too. You're so convincing. How do you lie without flinching? Ooh, what a mesmerizing, paralyzing, tragically thrill. Can't figure out just how you do it, and God knows I never. Your age, no better. I've made some real big mistakes, but you make the worst one look fine. I should have known it was strange. You only come out at night. I used to think I was smart, but you made me look so naive. The way you sold me for parts as you sunk your teeth into me. Bleeding me dry like a damn vampire. You said it was true love, but wouldn't that be hard? You can't love anyone, cause that would mean you had a heart. I tried to help you out, now I know that I can. Cause how you think's the kind of thing I'll never understand.
vampire.
And welcome back. So I'm going to play you three videos consecutively here. The first one is Crystal Queer or Sean Keneally, and this one is on Instagram, so it's a public video. But I think this is a really, really important. I don't have Instagram. I don't do that. I feel like it's for the young ones. But my friend, who is a straight man, sent me this video and said, this is what you've been saying for years. And if you've ever heard the show before, I've probably mentioned it once or twice, that Chambers are a very hostile environment for queer people. But this is somebody who actually worked in Chambers. And I'll let Crystal Queer or Sean say it in the best words he can. Here we go.
They know me as being a drag performer here in Cork, and if you don't know me, you do now, and I apologise in advance. I just wanted to pop on and address the elephant in the room. I'm feeling a bit nervous making this video, but I believe in using your voice and standing up for what you believe in, so that is exactly what I'm going to do. So, in our entire city here in Cork, we have one gay venue called Chambers, but a lot of you may not know that Chambers is actually run by a bigger group called Reardon's Group, who operate other venues such as The Secret Garden, The Hidden Attic, Le Cabaret, and Reardon's Bar. I've worked in Chambers for a few years, and from my own personal experience, I can say that I found Reardon's Group to be blatantly homophobic. From overhearing their team use homophobic and transphobic language all the time, their banter that just has the queens and the staff of Chambers at the butt of every joke, and their overall disdain and neglect for the well-being of Chambers. Last Thursday, I rocked up to Chambers to host my weekly show, Tipsy Thursday, and I was shocked to find that all the gay decor had been completely removed. Flags, bunting, posters, images, and the pride curtains that hang behind the stage. The queer aesthetic for this queer venue had been completely eradicated because Reardon's Group wanted to mask the fact that Chambers was a gay bar in order to draw in more customers because it was Freshers' Week and the students were returning to university. They even went so far with this disguise that from Mondays to Thursdays, the sign outside Chambers will now read Sinners as if it is a different venue, a straight venue. Now, if that already wasn't a slap in the face, I was then informed that my show was going to be cut for the next few weeks in order to not scare any of the customers away. And I wasn't notified by management. I literally found this out through word of mouth from the bar. My main source of income had been slashed in the blink of an eye with no compassion and no notice. I've got rent due, I've got bills to pay, I've got food to eat, and I'm literally going to struggle for the next few weeks for work now. I also have to add, there was this Chambers logo and a slogan adjacent to the bar on the wall, which has since been painted over. But it's so ironic because it would say, Chambers loves every heartbeat. Well, Chambers, you either love us every day of the week or you don't love us at all. Some of you are probably wondering, what's the big issue? Why don't you just go somewhere else? Now, I can't speak on behalf of everyone, but I'm very close to my community and I've gathered that the general consensus is we just don't feel comfortable in other venues. Usually because we're made fun of over the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we act, the way we dance. And sometimes going into certain venues, you have to tone down your gayness and play a false version of yourself just to feel safe. If anyone is questioning the validity of how unsafe it actually is out there, a few weeks ago, I was walking in Oliver Plunkett Street, minding my own business, when this man approached me, started screaming slurs in my face, told me I was a child molester and that he was going to crucify me, and then pursued me down the street for a further 10 minutes, shouting abuse at me. A few days later, a friend of mine from Galway, a drag king by the name of Victor Complex, came down to do a gig in Fred Zeppelin's. The second they left the venue, they were assaulted on the side of the road. Now, we also all saw the transphobic and homophobic protests that went on inside the library, and they literally had to shut the library down due to concerns over the staff's safety. Since the marriage referendum, hate crimes have risen exponentially. The reason we can't go anywhere else is because there's nowhere else to go. The one place we have is now appeasing to straight people for a few extra bucks. An entire community of people have made money for Reardon's Group and Chambers for years and years and years, and now you are turning around and literally making a space for the same people who will ridicule us and make fun of us. What you're doing is despicable, and I don't want to be a part of it. The reality is that after I upload this video, I will most likely be permanently fired from Chambers, but I won't trade my dignity for any amount of money, as if it was that much to begin with. so fire me. I want to end this on a positive note, and if I can say one positive thing about your establishment, is that Sinners is a great name, because you're going to need to do a lot of repenting to fix this mess.
And that's Sean Keneally. And I've actually seen Sean from first starting out as Crystal Queer to the evolution of what he's become now. And he's become a really, really polished and established queen in Cork City. And it's just a disgrace that we're seeing all this hate and all this, you know, people trying to beat people up. And, like, get over yourself. Do you know what I mean? And I've been saying this about Chambers for years and years. And I'm just going to play... So they decided to have a protest. So... Sean, in his Crystal Queer full ensemble, gathered a massive lot of protesters from the community. And so I do have a couple of videos here of how it went for him. So this is him as Crystal Queer, just chatting a bit about the protest. And then the one following it, you can hear the support from the people passing by.
Just a reminder that the protest is here tonight on the courthouse steps, 9 o'clock. Please refrain from bringing any alcohol. We want to keep this as clean as possible. There may be some people, some undesirables, who try to engage with us. Please don't engage. We don't want to give anyone any ammunition. Lastly, there is a GoFundMe. It will be put in my bio and on my page. It is to help invent a new gay space in Cork. Please donate if you can. And most importantly, there may be an Actors in Mind tonight. See you there!
Woo! So then this is... You can just hear the protests. There's hundreds of people there supporting. And just really showing Chambers what they're made of. So they're saying, we're here to stay, you can't pray the gay away, which is exactly what I would say too. So Boo Boo Upsy, I'm going to get on the phone in just 2 minutes. I'm going to play one song while I'm doing that. And also, Boo Boo reposted that post and was also there at the actual protests themselves. So I am going to now play what I think is pretty fitting, the Pride song, United We Stand, by Ray Isaac and Fly Young Red.
Oh. Don't cry. Let the angels wipe the tears from your eyes. Don't fear. Even though it's like the sun just disappeared. Well, they can't take away my pride, 'cause I'm stronger than I've ever been before. Oh, sending brands of love, proud of who we are. We stand united, we stand united.
We stand tall, like when they made that stand out of stone wall. That's proof that if we together, we won't fall. That's proof that if we together, we won't fall. 'Cause love is love, no hate, and love wins. You heard that. We stand tall, we all together, and trans lives matter. Bring our girls back.
No shame. Forgiveness helps to heal all your pain. We're here, and the colors of the rainbow surround you near. Oh, they will never win this fight, 'cause we're stronger than we've ever been before.
Oh,
together, there's nothing we can't achieve. No matter your race or creed, we just gotta believe. We are all survivors, we just gotta keep riding. They try to take our pride, but we just gotta keep fighting. The time is right now, no more talking about it. We more than just choreographers, stylists, and makeup artists. We are sons and daughters, rappers, doctors, and lawyers. And when we stand together, we'll be victorious.
Welcome back to The Gay Agenda. I'm joined on the phone now by Paul Stanton, a.k.a. Boo Boo Upsy, who was at the protests and who've done a couple of the shows with Crystal. And, yeah, welcome to the show.
Hiya, how are you?
Not too bad now. So tell us a bit about, how, first of all, your own experiences doing Thirsty Thursday and working with Crystal in general.
Oh, well, like, working with Crystal's like a dream. Honestly, they're the sweetest, most wholesome person. Like, if anything goes wrong, they'll be the first person to go, oh, I have something to help you with, or take a deep breath, we'll get through this, and let's go and do a brilliant show, you know? The utmost professional. Absolutely adore Crystal. And Liam B as well. Like, they're both kind of very supportive of new drag, and that was the show that kind of got a lot of baby drag queens out.
Yeah, and you run your own show as well, don't you?
Yeah, I run Making a Scene in Fred Zeppelin's. It's kind of going to be in 2024. It's going to be every month now, the last Friday of every month.
Amazing.
Before then, we have a show on November 17th.
November 17th. And where do you get tickets for that? Do you get them online or can you just buy them on the door?
You can get them both ways. Online, I have my own online store where you can buy the tickets. And then on the day, you can buy the tickets at the door. It's always going to be a very kind of punk rock kind of atmosphere there. So be prepared to bring a headbanging outfit and just enjoy the show.
Amazing. And I think it's really important to include the new people coming into drag, because they keep it going as well, because it's like with the stuff happening in the libraries, it's just crazy. And you were actually at the protest, was you?
Yeah, I was at the protest outside the courthouse.
Yeah.
It was really, really empowering to see that many people come together and just be, look, erasure is erasure, and profiting off the community that supported you for so long.
Especially it's the one gay venue we have, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, like, look, at it this way, we had this bubbling up for many, many years, and we were just going, like, look, it's a student night, we'll avoid the place.
Yeah, but just for the one night, like.
But to be fair, we were under the impression that our safe space, our absolutely, like, home of, like, if I need something to be like figured out in the queer community as a queer volunteer, I work with Bi Ireland, I'll go in and I'll chat to other coordinators in a casual setting, which would be your queer venue, and be like, look, we have Bi Visibility coming up in September, Are you doing anything? Do you need any help? You know, it's stuff like that. It's a community hub. And then they literally just went, oh, yeah, sure, look, communities finished after Cork Pride in August. There we go. Let's cater to the students and paint. So, literally, they just ripped down rainbow flags left, right, and center, changed the decorations, changed the actual name on the bar. It was a complete erasure. And, saying this to my straight friends was just like, it's like an Irish bar in Spain putting up Union Jacks just for the sake of a few extra bob because there's actually more British coming.
Yeah, the reason I heard about the video from Sean was, I've met Sean loads of times, you know, he's been over at our house, you know, he's a lovely, lovely guy. And I heard about it because my straight friend saw it on Instagram and sent it to me and said, you've literally been saying this for years. And it's true, because 10 years ago, when I used to go to Chambers as a baby gay who was 18, it was run by Rob and Rob's partner. And there was, it was perfectly safe. Like, if you said to him, oh, that guy over there is being homophobic to me, he'd be gone. And if you did it now, you'd be the one kicked out.
Yeah, and, the thing is, I in the past have had friends of mine, with proper grievances with the Raritans group.
Yeah.
About security, about how they conduct their business. And, a lot of it falls on deaf ears because it's kind of the we know best kind of thing. Like, we had the town hall meeting with the drag rec room, and they sent a representative to talk to the community from the Raritans group.
Oh, how did that go?
And it was really empowering to hear what people wanted in a safe space, what the bare minimums are, what understanding needs to be seen. You know, why was this hurtful? What can people do going forward in, different venues have really stepped up as well.
Yeah.
I do have to say that.
People other venues have seen what's going on and have said, okay, we'll help with this.
Yeah, I'm always going to be going, bricks and mortar, queer space run by queers for the queers is the optimal solution.
Yeah.
But there's a fundraiser going on for that one. But at the moment, it's supporting venues that support us. Supporting shows that are running. Like, I've always run an alternative show.
Yeah, It's not to say that Chambers isn't the only thing got gay stuff going on, because they might be the only queer venue, but there's gay nights in other places around the city.
Yes, legitimately, when we talk about Chambers as a venue, it was supposed to be a community hub. It was supposed to be where, I'm just after coming out, I just want to go for a drink and hang out with other like-minded people.
And it seems to be a place for some straight men to go and kind of treat it as some kind of freak show where they can, you know, go and ogle at the men dressed as women, and it's like make fun of them and stuff like that. And the security, because when Chambers got rid of, they fired all their staff, they fired all the security, they fired all the bar staff, and they hired a load of new people, and the vibe wasn't the same again after that.
The bar staff behind the bar at Chambers over the last few years have been brilliant.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
I haven't been in a long time. I had stopped supporting them years ago. But it's good to hear that they actually are good staff.
They're I've nothing but the utmost respect for the staff. They had nothing to do with this. This was not their decision. This was the Raritans group decision. This is Margaret's decision. And they I'm just quoting them this. They acted on wrong advice. And then when I asked a representative of the Reardon's group, did you ask the students' union or any student group their advice for your students' night? No, they did not.
Right.
Did you ask any LGBTQ groups about any advice? No. No,
of course not.
Zero.
Let's go back to that.
So they took their own advice and they said, we know what's best.
Right.
And acted upon it. And look, being honest, it's a business. They can do that.
Yeah.
But we're a community. We can also not support you in your decision. And at the moment, the community is much stronger.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, you know, they might have their two good nights of getting good money from the students, and then what happens when it goes back to being a regular LGBT bar? People aren't going to stand for that. They're not going to come in. Do you know?
No.
And let's go back to the representative for a second. The one who got invited, what did they have to say for themselves regarding the whole situation?
So the minutes are up on the drag rec room. I'm literally, don't quote me on it.
Right.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they wanted to mend bridges. They wanted to talk with the drag performers. They wanted to talk to the community, and they did. But honestly, they gave a tone deaf apology on Instagram. Not too long after that, and the apology also had a promotion at the bottom. Oh, we're running our €5 drinks deal all weekend. If you're putting a promotion on the end of an apology,
yeah,
in my mind, that is not an apology. That is a marketing trick.
Advertising.
I'm so sorry, but this is not the way to conduct a respectable apology, business, whatever. The disrespect we have gotten as a community from this one venue is literally, it's not just this one venue that's closed. It's still open for business, but there is other places around the country that are losing their queer spaces.
Yeah.
Club B just closed recently in Waterford. That's a queer venue that's literally had drag shows and like karaoke nights and everything, and that's closed.
Yeah.
In Belfast as well is closed. Queer spaces are vital, and it's so sad to see that multiple places are closing down.
Yeah, I do feel like a lot of the queer people have migrated to the bars close by. Like in Parla, I know a lot of queer people go there. It's not a queer bar, it's not a queer space. But the staff are so good there that they won't let anybody start any drama. They won't let anybody kick off. And it's just really, it's really, really chill vibes. So I feel like if I was going out in Cork, I'd try and get a pint or two in there at least. Do you know?
Yeah. Well, like, look, I perform in venues that are alternative to name redacted. I'm finished with saying their names right now at this moment.
Yeah.
I've performed Fred Zeppelin's, I've performed in the PAV, I've performed in Angels Club, I've performed in many other venues around the country.
Yeah.
And it's like, honestly, the way it felt inside chambers when you're not doing a Thursday night was literally the bar staff and the queens are like basically independent of the Reardon's group. The security is run by the Reardon's group. But I felt like literally when I went in on a Saturday night, I didn't get booked for a Saturday night or a Friday night, But when I go in drag, I got like a kind of tush as I walked past the security guy one day. I just turned back and I was like, excuse me, drag is paying your wages, babe.
You tell him. Oh, you know, they're just ridiculous. Like, I work as a security officer myself. Like, it's my full-time job. I do it. That's what I do for a living. And I've worked in places like that, and I've worked in similar backgrounds on the door. And Jesus Christ, what? Like, there's some macho men there who think that they just, like, I don't know, they just have some God trip power in their head that they can, you know, chuck people out and push people around. I'm like, hello, this is your job. Like, treat it like a job.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Like, but there's been cases of, like, someone who is a trap man, and they basically walked over with their ID. They haven't changed over their ID, like, and they're not obligated to. But the doorman was like, nah, like, I literally have to match your name. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I just saw it happen. I was like,
Yeah,
they are trans.
And not only that, it's like, what, obviously Raiden's not giving the security staff any diversity and inclusion training. And, like, it's chambers, you know? You need it there. Do you know?
And that's the thing. And there is groups that will offer it, like the Gay Project and Link do offer training for security.
Yeah. And it is there. It is an option. Like, just give them a call. No brother.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, like, look, these are non-judgmental organizations. You might have made mistakes in the past, but if you want to correct mistakes, they will be there for any organization that has done wrong in the past who wants to do better.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We do want people to do better.
Everybody can always improve, you know?
It starts with like, mutual respect,
yeah.
You know, and, like, at the moment, there is no respect from their side, so...
Yeah. So that's why the community are fighting back. I'm going to have to leave you there, Paul, because I'm about twice the time that I usually am on interviews, but I'm really passionate about this, and I really wanted to get a good in-depth talk about it. Is there anything you want to promote really quickly before I let you go?
So there's two or three things there, sorry. So Making a Scene in Fred Zeppelin's on November 17th. Also, we have the Drag Rec Room. You can follow us on Instagram. You can get the minutes of the meeting that we had with the Town Hall, as well as find out what we're doing. We do workshops and advocacy for drag performers. And also, just be kind to your queer friends and sending love.
Couldn't say it any better myself. Thank you for coming on the show, Paul. And I'll send you a message in a little while. I'm just going to hang up there now and play a bit of music before the radio guys get mad at me. All right.
No worries.
I'll see you later. Thanks very much. So now I'm going to play U-Haul Gay Girl by Lily Brown and Kimber Springs.
She said she'd fiddled with only men, then she fell in love with a lesbian. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hand. Said, baby, I just wanna dance.
I met her on her swipe right, then we met at the bar. She shared a lemonade with me and I played her the guitar.
She asked me, what does it mean? I think you're turning me on.
I said, come on with me, girl, you wanna strap on?
She knew that I would chase her, she wanted the fun. She got queeros on her wall and Clark holding a shotgun. Chatted some more and we knew it was love. Then we looked at a duplex and rented a truck.
So she packed her fiddle in her cat Tegan, cause she fell in love with a lesbian. Kissed her on the neck and then we took off in the van, cause baby we're gonna move in.
You're my pretty U-Haul gay girl, my pretty U-Haul gay girl.
We went to
to Home Depot and bought some screws, and then she kissed me like there were no homophobes in the room. We bought a few flannels, then we got tattoos after dancing to Haley singing our queer tunes. I've never heard at the ridge of a song so sweet. Open mic at the bar using her feet for a beat. Oh, I could have that voice playing on repeat for a week, and in this packed out room where she was singing to me. We've got way too many photos on Instagram, cause she fell in love with a lesbian. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hand, cause baby I just wanna live with my pretty U-Haul gay girl. My, 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 my U-Haul gay girl. My, 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 my U-Haul gay girl. My, 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 my U-Haul gay girl.
Abby and it's closing time. I was holding her hand, her hand was holding mine. Our coats both smell of smoke, whiskey and dykes. As we leave, we hope for the night. We U-hauled home and she took me inside to finish unpacking in a bottle of wine. I swear I'm gonna put you in a song that I write about a U-haul girl in a perfect life. 2 weeks later we're all moved in, cause she fell in love with a lesbian. Kissed her on the neck and then I took her by the hand, cause baby I just wanna live with my pretty U-Haul gay girl. My, 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 my U-Haul gay girl. My, 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 my U-Haul gay girl. My, 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 my U-Haul gay girl.
And that was Gay by Maisie. So we're almost done the show there now. We've got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to quickly jump back into Queer Talk and play a couple more that I think are just hilarious. So this is Kirsten. And when she says that she knew she was from a young age, I said blank because you can't see what I'm doing. It's the hand thing. And if you're gay, you know, you know. So listen to this.
I've known from a very young age that I am okay. What I didn't know from a very young age, though, was what exactly that meant for me. And when I was 6 years old, I remember sitting on the floor watching TV with my family, my brother, both of my parents were in the room. And for whatever reason, we were watching ice skating, which is so weird because nobody in my family gives a fuck about ice skating. But nonetheless, we were watching ice skating and all of a sudden, there were two men who were ice skating together. And that clicked for me, right? Because I realized that that was, and I am also. So let's see, what does the family think about? So first, I ask my parents why two men are ice skating together. And my mom says, well, honey, they're gay. And this was my first time being told what being gay meant, right? Like, this was a lot for my brain to process at once. Like, okay, when two men like each other, that's gay. And I'm just gonna assume that when two women like each other, that's also gay. And I wanted to know how my family felt about people being gay. So naturally, I turn around to my parents and I go, I hate gay people.
What?
And immediately, my mom is like, no, you don't. We don't hate anybody. And my brother goes, my uncle is gay, which was also my uncle. So now my parents are freaking out because their child just became homophobic out of nowhere. And they have to make sure that this never gets back to my uncle ever. And I am just sitting there live, laugh, loving life, babes, because this is great news for me. My uncle is gay. We love my uncle. We love gay people! I never even had to come out to my parents. I brought home a woman and there were no questions asked. Ever. And now I'm gonna marry that woman. And I have the most supportive family, minus my grandparents, that I could ever ask for. And it's amazing.
I'm gonna quickly play one more before the next person has to come in. Yeah, this one's really beautiful. It's Irish Bums. Marching for trans people.
Beat the Irish Mammies. It's called Pink on the streets for trans youth.
Trans people can't be out in the front all the time because it's far too dangerous for them.
you know. And as parents ourselves, we said, well, who else is going to do it if it's not going to be us?
The movement began because of the terrible fear, upset and distress felt by trans youth in Ireland and beyond. These feelings were highlighted by the death of trans student Brianna Gay, who was found with fatal stab wounds in a Warrington park in February.
We're aiming to reduce the noise by the people who maybe don't agree and have them less heard, and amplify the voices of those who are supportive and have them more heard, so that what people are hearing is the love and acceptance of their community and not the small few who maybe have an issue with it.
Claire says the grassroots group is a place that offers people who don't know how to support the trans community somewhere to do exactly that.
We're trying to create a space in which there's an alternative narrative. Maybe their own mother isn't in a place to give them the support that they need, but that it gives them something huge to see that there are moms and mams out there for whom this is a completely normal experience.
The group of around 10 women protest for trans rights, mainly at weekends.
I mean, we've had the most incredible couple of months marching, because every time, I'm even getting goosebumps thinking about it, because every time we march, people come out of the crowd. We're hugged.
However, both Claire and Karen have been open about the challenges they face, attracting negative attention from what they call a minority.
What bothers me and what I've seen arise in is very focused threats. Threats to bash my head in. And I've had to go to the police because one of my kids was targeted.
The group has recently focused their attention on the proposed book bans in Ireland.
We really feel that trans children, the parents of trans children and the trans community in general are being othered and monsterized and demonized in the media, and there's nobody coming forward really to say, you know, these are just teenagers, they're just kids.
Meet the Irish.
And that's it from the Gay Agenda. Happy Halloween, and yeah, the community, we've got your back. So I'm going to play you out now with the non-binary song by Man and Ale. Here we go.
They told me when I started school I had to join a line. There's one for girls, one for boys. I asked them which was mine. They asked me if my mother raised a daughter or a son. They sent me to the corner where I made a line of one. And the line for the girls was pretty, pretty pink, and the line for the boys was blue. There's another line for everyone else, a line for me and you. Some people have a mind that's small, a mind that gives them trouble, with party frocks and stompy boots and lipstick on my stubble. You tell me I'm confused about the person I should be. The only one confused is you. I know that I am me. And the door for the girls was pretty, pretty pink, and the door for the boys was blue. There's another door to the outside world, a door for me and you. Now if you think your business is to label me your guess, the sort of thing I keep beneath my trousers or my dress, it's not your call to ask about the contents of my pants, unless I take you home to bed. And sweetie, not a chance. And the world for the girls was pretty, pretty pink, and the world for the boys was blue. There's another world for everyone else, a world for me and you.